Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Adapt Why Success Always Starts with Failure is a nonfiction book by economist and journalist Tim Harford, written for readers interested in business, policy, innovation, and problem solving. It argues that many of the world's most difficult challenges cannot be solved by grand plans or expert certainty alone. Instead, Harford makes the case for adaptive trial and error, showing that progress often comes from small experiments, feedback, and the willingness to survive failure long enough to learn from it. Drawing on examples from evolution, organizations, military operations, and public policy, the book presents adaptation as a practical method for dealing with complexity. Its purpose is not to celebrate failure for its own sake, but to explain why failure, when contained and examined, can be a productive source of discovery in systems that are too complicated for top-down control. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, evolution as the model for learning through variation and selection. Harford uses evolutionary biology as the book's central analogy because it provides a clear mechanism for how useful solutions emerge without foreknowledge. In nature, countless variations appear, most of them fail, and a few survive because they fit the environment better. The important lesson is not that failure is noble, but that variation creates the raw material for improvement. Harford applies this logic to human decision-making by arguing that experimentation should not be seen as a sign of weakness or disorder. In complex settings, no planner can know in advance which idea will work, so the only realistic path is to generate options, observe results, and keep what proves effective. This framework shifts attention away from perfect design and toward iterative discovery. It also challenges the assumption that expertise alone can resolve uncertainty. The book's evolutionary approach is therefore both descriptive and practical. It explains how adaptation happens and why systems that permit many small failures are often better at producing durable success than systems that demand certainty from the start. Secondly, why loosely coupled systems can learn from failure while tightly coupled systems cannot. A major distinction in the book is between loosely coupled systems and tightly coupled ones. In loosely coupled systems, one part can fail without immediately destroying the whole, which creates room for testing, correction, and partial success. This is why experimentation is possible in areas such as product development, organizational design, and policy pilots. By contrast, tightly coupled systems are dangerous because small mistakes can cascade rapidly into large breakdowns. Harford uses this distinction to explain why some forms of trial and error are productive, while others are reckless. The point is not simply that failure is useful, but that it must be made survivable. A system that cannot absorb error will punish exploration and lock itself into fragility. This idea gives the book much of its practical force because it shows how structure shapes learning. Good adaptation requires not just creative individuals, but environments with buffers, decentralization, and mechanisms that prevent local mistakes from becoming total collapse. Harford's argument helps readers see why the design of institutions matters as much as the intelligence of the people inside them. Thirdly, decentralized organizations learn faster than top-down command structures. Harford repeatedly argues that organizations often improve when authority is pushed downward and dissent is encouraged upward. In complex environments, frontline employees usually see problems earlier than senior leaders, so a rigid hierarchy can filter out the very information needed for adaptation. The book emphasizes that people closest to the action should be able to test ideas, report failures honestly, and revise plans quickly. This is why peer monitoring, flatter structures, and local discretion become important features of adaptive institutions. Harford does not claim that hierarchy is always useless. Rather, he shows that centralized command tends to work best when tasks are stable and predictable, not when conditions change rapidly. His examples, including military and business cases, illustrate the danger of assuming that a single plan can survive contact with reality unchanged. The deeper implication is that organizations should design for learning rather than control alone. If employees fear punishment for reporting bad news or trying alternatives, the organization becomes less responsive. By contrast, when dissent is treated as information rather than insubordination, the institution becomes more capable of correcting itself before small errors become systemic failures. Fourthly, public policy should favor experiments, incentives, and reversible interventions. The book extends its argument beyond business into government and public policy, where Harford is skeptical of sweeping solutions imposed from above. Public problems such as poverty, climate change, and financial instability are often too complex for a single master plan to solve cleanly. Harford's answer is not paralysis, but a more experimental policy style that allows different approaches to be tried on a limited scale before being expanded. This means policymakers should prefer interventions that are testable, adjustable, and capable of revealing what actually works. He also suggests that governments may need to use incentives such as prizes or alternative reward structures when conventional market or regulatory tools are weak or distorted. The key principle is that policy should be designed for learning, not just declaration. By comparing many small bets, institutions can reduce the cost of mistaken assumptions and identify better responses through evidence rather than ideology. This makes the book especially relevant to public decision-making because it reframes failure as part of responsible governance when failure is contained, measured, and used to improve later action. Lastly, adaptation requires survivability, not just willingness to experiment. One of the book's most important corrective ideas is that adaptation is not automatically empowering for everyone involved. Harford stresses survivability, the ability to fail without catastrophic consequences. This matters because many systems encourage risk-taking in theory while leaving individuals or organizations to absorb all the damage when experiments go wrong. He therefore distinguishes between learning from failure and simply glorifying failure. The goal is to make it possible for some attempts to fail without destroying the people, institutions, or networks that produce them. This is why he pays attention to safety margins, local testing, and the limits of large-scale commitment. The same principle applies in private life, entrepreneurship, and social policy. If the cost of a mistake is intolerable, then experimentation becomes irrational. Harford's treatment of survivability adds moral and practical realism to the book. It prevents the argument from becoming a simplistic celebration of risk, and instead frames adaptation as a disciplined process of exposure, feedback, and protection. In that sense, the book is about designing conditions where learning can continue long enough to matter. In conclusion, Adapt Why Success Always Starts with Failure is best suited to readers who want a serious, evidence-based account of why complex problems resist simple solutions. Business leaders, policymakers, managers, and readers interested in innovation will all find value in its practical emphasis on testing, decentralization, and learning from partial failure. It is also useful for general readers who want a clearer way to think about uncertainty in everyday decisions. What distinguishes the book from many popular success titles is that it does not offer a motivational formula or a universal system. Instead, it explains why adaptation works in environments where prediction is limited and why structures that allow controlled failure are often more resilient than those built around. Harford's strength is his range. He connects evolutionary biology, organizational behavior, military examples, and public policy without losing sight of the central argument. The result is a book that is analytical rather than inspirational, but still highly practical. Its lasting value lies in teaching readers how to think in experiments, how to recognize the difference between useful and destructive failure, and how to design systems that can learn before they collapse. If you would like to support Tim Harford, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.